Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome to Sacramento Central Church Study Hour. We are so thankful that you have come here. I want to be so happy that we are with the Lord today in His house of prayer, right? And we are excited to have a good lesson for this morning. But before we do that, we need to sing praises to the Lord, shouldn't we? Okay, our first song then is actually hymn number 303, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And thank you, Nathan, from the Philippines. By the way, Nathan, I know you probably are watching there. Thank you for requesting this song. Beneath the Cross of Jesus, we'll sing all three stanzas.
Jesus, I faith will take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me, and from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess. Shadows for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to
if you have any song requests, those of you who are watching online, please go to www.saccentral.org and then click on Contact Us and go to CHS Hymnal Request. Put the number of the hymn that you want us to sing next time and also the title and, of course, your name and where you're coming from. We will appreciate and we will sing that song some other time. And this time, the second song will be in hymn number 309, that is, I Surrender All.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Thank you very much for joining us. And by the way, that was requested by Louisa from here in our own state, California. By the way, if you have all that, again, I mentioned to you that if you want to have a request, please let us know. Let us now focus our attention to our teacher, the one who will facilitate our lesson. He will be Dr. Ray Ford. But before we do that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank You, O Lord, that we have this chance for us to learn at Your feet. We thank You, O Lord, for Dr. Ray Ford, who is able to divide the lesson for us today. And as we listen, may we not just be listeners of Your word, but the doers of Your word. May we learn lesson from You, O Lord. Wherever we are, whether we are in the sanctuary or wherever we are in the world, I pray that You will touch our hearts through these words, and that after listening to these, may we be changed into Your likeness. May we not be the same again, that others may see that we have been with Jesus. Bless Dr. Ray Ford, O Lord. Give Him Your Holy Spirit that He needs, especially as He speak. May He speak only that which is coming from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Nice to see you all. How are you all doing? Blessed, blessed. That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, we are here this morning for Central Study Hour, and I trust and pray that you all had studied your lesson before you came today. I know that Central Study Hour does the lesson weeks ahead of time, so I know that you guys are like the premier club. So we're going to have a wonderful time today. And I want to thank the pastor again and the pastoral staff and again, you guys, the membership, for the opportunity to share God's word this morning in Sabbath school. Let us pray. Into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit move in this place as we contemplate these words from the book of Mark. We thank you for the story of Mark, because his story is an encouragement to any one of us and all of us, that you are patient with us and that you work with us. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So I guess we are doing lesson 6, correct? Inside Out? Does that sound familiar? Okay, Inside Out. Well, the memory text for the day, and again, welcome to my friends on watching online. If you're looking for a free CD of this, or a free DVD of this study today, please call 916-457-6511, 916-457-6511, or you could go to the website Central Study Hour, or CSH, that's C for Cat, S for Sam, H for Harry, CSH at SuckCentral.org, CSH at SuckCentral.org, and please mention offer number C as in Cat, 202432. C as in Cat, 202432. All right. So again, we are studying Inside Out, and our study for today is going to come mostly, primarily, from Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8. So let's look at our memory text. Our memory text is from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Excuse me, Mark, sorry. Yeah, Mark chapter 7 and verse 15. Mark chapter 7 and verse 15. Let's read together. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile a man. So this is now Jesus Christ speaking, because he is under attack. The book of Mark is an action-packed book. How many of you like action-packed? The book of Mark is an action-packed book. It is loaded with action. There's constant movement. And Jesus Christ is constantly under attack. Yes? And so he is now being accused of something, and he is given a rebuttal. There's nothing that enters a man from the outside that defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile him. So we're going to take a little closer look at that as we go along. So the lesson says, the first paragraph of Sabbath afternoon, it says, this week's study in Mark 7 and the first half of Mark 8. At the beginning of Mark 7, Jesus stirs up what? Controversy by his rejection of religious traditions. You know, many times we get caught up with our religious tradition. We are so caught up that we lose sight of Jesus. We are so caught up with form. Yes, the Bible says we have a form of godliness, yes, but we deny what? The power thereof. So the writer says, it says that, however, he, Jesus, responds in a way that is strikingly supportive of something deeply relevant to Christian life today. Jesus then presents a riddle that opens the door to a true understanding of what faith is really about. Faith, my friends, is the substance of our study today, and really, truly, faith is the substance of the Christian life. So as we move on to Sunday, we're going to look at human traditions versus God's commands. Human traditions versus God's commands. So let's look at Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read for you from verses 1 to 13. Please follow with me in your Bibles. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. All right. And the word of God says, Then the Pharisees, the who? The Pharisees. I mean, the thing is amazing that all over the book of Mark, and really truly all over the Gospels, these people are constantly hounding Jesus. So the word says that the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Wow. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is koban,' that is a gift of God, or a gift as a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." Wow, this is packed. Mark is like a no-nonsense type of guy. This brother is like, listen, he's going to say it as it is. He's not going to mince the words of Jesus. He's going to just let Jesus speak. And Jesus is responding to this critique. The Pharisees and the scribes were constantly criticizing Jesus, or they were criticizing his disciples, which means that they were criticizing Jesus. Because as far as they were concerned, Jesus Christ, his disciples, they're breaking all the rules. Himself, Jesus Christ, is breaking all the rules. He is eating with tax collectors and sinners. They're picking food, grain on the Sabbath day, and now they're sitting and not going through the process, the ritual process of washing your hands. Now, how many of you think it's important to wash your hands before you eat your food? Well, I think so, right? I think so. But this is not the type of washing we are talking about here. We're talking about some ritualistic type of thing that absolutely has nothing per se to do with hygiene, but more so with tradition. I mean, how long does it take to wash your hands before you eat? But they are going to occupy themselves, going through all these motions and all to show that they are different from other people. Jesus Christ wasn't going to go for that. I mean, you were talking about me and my disciples not washing our hands? He says, you guys are following tradition and teaching as commandment your traditions. You are laying aside my commandment, you are laying aside my will for your traditions. You have not followed God. Because if you are following God, you will not be caught up with this minutia. You will not be caught up with these little things that you get all beside yourselves about. You will be caught up with the things of God. You will be busy about your Father's business. And Jesus Christ let them understand it. He did not mince words. The thing about Jesus Christ is, in all that he said to the Pharisees and the scribes and to the leaders of the temple, it was all done and said in love. They were accusing Jesus of having a liberal school, rabbinical school, because they're doing all these liberal things. We are the conservatives, and we only do the conservative things. And Jesus Christ says, you guys have no idea. He says, the people honor me with their lips. He's quoting from Isaiah. But your hearts are far from me. And in vain. This is critical, friends. How would you feel if somebody tells you that your worship is in vain? How would you feel? You get up on Sabbath morning, you get yourself together, you come into the house of God with an attitude of prayer, and somebody tells you, man, that's all for naught. It would make you feel good, would it? But that's what Jesus Christ was telling them. That all this, because it is not the form and the outward, you see, because God looks where? At the inward. Hurt. The outward profits nothing. But we look at the outward and we compare one another by outward appearance and actions. But Christ looks at the motive. And so, friends, we are told here that that Jesus made sure that they recognized that they are concerned about the things which are unimportant. In Jesus' day, many people in that land were very concerned with ritual purity. That's amazing. I mean, certainly God gave them the laws in Leviticus. We understand that, right? But they had now made it into something which it was not intended to be. And they had made it a burden for the people. And that is what we have to be careful about, even in God's church today. The question that we have at the bottom of the page is, might we have some traditions that perhaps conflict with the principles of God's law? Might we? That's something we have to think about. People come into the house of God. People are visiting. People are guests. They may not necessarily have the core that we have known or grown to have when we come to church, but they're here. But we begin to impose our traditions on them, and they are just visiting. They are young in faith. They just got baptized. They are growing. But we want to beat them up over the head with our traditions. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men over the commandments of God. Let's go on to Monday, my friends. For Monday, we talk about clean hands or clean heart. And so we're going to continue our reading here. We're going to read verses 14 to verse 19. 14 to 19. Jesus Christ has dealt with them in regards to the hand situation. And then now he says, Mark tells us, when he, Jesus, had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. Okay? There is nothing that enters a man that defile him, okay? But the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, and so on. And so Jesus Christ is trying to tell them and help them to understand that a clean heart, God is looking for clean hearts. God is looking for clean hearts. It says, render your heart and not your garment. In fact, I remember in Matthew, he called these same people, he called them hypocrites, he called them whitewashed tombs. Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ got some, he got some way about him, boy. I mean, you could tell somebody today he's a whitewashed tomb. Oh my goodness, you're ready for a beatdown. But thank God that we recognize that, or we should at least, that we cannot tell anybody that because we are no different than anybody else. The only man who has the power and authority and the pure heart to say that is Jesus. But Jesus Christ was never saying these things in a condemning way. Jesus Christ is always about redemption. He is always about redeeming and drawing unto himself. The power of God was always surrounded Jesus and always dwelt with him. He always had a word, according to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. He always had a word from his Father for the weary. But he said it in love as a warning. Don't keep pushing it. You know, the more we insist on form and formality and ritual, the less connected we are with God. And over time, we lose total connection with God. And if there was ever a dangerous place to be, it is the place where we have lost our connection with God. In verse 23, he says of Mark chapter 7, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. That is why Jesus Christ says, because he says, you have heard, right? You, in the Beatitudes, you have heard that, you know, the only way you could commit murder is if you actually do the act, like you go grab a knife or a gun or whatever, or you take a stone and beat up a man and kill him. He says, but I say unto you, if you even think of it and let it sit there and marinate in your heart, you have already committed the act, whether it is murder or adultery or whatever it is, because it is out of the heart that the action comes. And that is what shows defilement and not necessarily what we eat. Let's look at, and just for context sake, and we're going to talk about this, we understand that Jesus Christ was never saying that we should not go and eat unclean foods. I think we all understand that, right? Because we understand that Jesus Christ insists from his word, and the apostles knew that, and the Pharisees knew that God gave clean foods and unclean foods, really for our own benefit. God does things always for our benefit. And so, I pray that we recognize, he says here, the question is asked, you might have the right theology, but who fully and ultimately has your heart? That is the question. You know, I Seventh-day Adventists many times, and sometimes with good intention, we are going around and nitpicking and looking for who is breaking the Sabbath according to our own definition. What this person is doing or not doing. Because we know how to keep Sabbath. They don't. I need to teach them how to keep Sabbath. You know, one of the, I do a Bible study on Thursday evenings, And one of my one of the members of the class, I do it on Zoom. She lives in Texas with her family. She sent me a question the other day to ask. Now she's been baptized for some time now, but she asked me a question. What is the right way to keep Sabbath? What can I or cannot do? She's a young person, but you know, in all honesty, I was surprised with the question, but because I know when she was baptized, when we were all in Texas, and that's been a few years ago, at least six, seven years ago now. But nonetheless, it shows me that there's a sincere, honest struggle that she's struggling with likely, or maybe she wants to teach someone something, but she doesn't have, because she also speaks to her family and helps them to understand what the Sabbath is all about. So that's good when people come and ask you a question. Hey, how do you, or what does the Bible say? Because nobody's asking for your opinion or asking me for my opinion. What they're asking you, even if they don't say it like that, but give them the word. Give them what God says. Don't give your opinion. Because our opinions many times twist the word of God. So give them the word of God in love, in kindness, not pounding them over the head. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, where we're already there. Let's continue, verses 24 to 30. And the word of God says, from there he arose, this is Jesus, and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Wow. This guy is hard to hide from people. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Have mercy. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. My friends, this is a beautiful, beautiful story and rendition on faith. Faith, we are told, is depending, you know, we read Hebrews 11, and we have a definition of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then you ask somebody, well, break that down for me, they can't break it down for you. But here's a simple definition of faith. Faith is depending on God to do what he says he will do and expecting him to do it. How's that? That's what faith is. You take God at his word and you present that word to him in faith and claim his promises. And this woman whose daughter was possessed with a demon comes to Jesus, even though she was a Gentile. What brought her to Jesus? Desperation? Yes. Great need? Yes. But no man seeks God, we are told by Paul in Romans chapter 3. No man comes to God, or no man seeks God on their own. And then we are also told by Paul, no one comes to the Father unless God draws him. So clearly, this Gentile woman, this pagan woman, was being drawn to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. She had heard about Jesus. Oh, yeah. But she knew and she felt something in her heart that said, I need to see him right now. I need to be in his presence right now because I need his help. And so, my friends, what this woman experienced from Jesus is something which we need to appreciate today. Many times we speak to people in a condescending way. And some people will use the excuse, well, Jesus spoke to the woman in a condescending way. But what we fail to realize is Jesus is always teaching a lesson. You and I many times are not teaching a lesson, at least not an honorable lesson. Jesus was teaching a lesson, not so much for the woman, but for his followers, for his disciples. They considered the Gentiles as dogs, literally. In fact, you remember that many times, in fact, Jesus Christ told a parable to the Pharisees that you will take out a sheep out of a ditch on the Sabbath day, but you don't care about the people who you call unclean, the sick, the suffering, the bent over, the broken. You don't care about them because to you they're unclean. Jesus Christ is saying to us here, you cannot take people and throw them out of God's love. Jesus Christ is depicting to them, and he is conscious that the Holy Spirit is working on this woman. He's conscious of that. And so he is now teaching a lesson because he is showing the people what faith truly is. And anybody who comes to God, he will in no wise cast out. Anyone who comes to God believing, he would in no wise cast out. And so the fact of him calling the woman dog, it's not that he called the woman dog, but he wanted to show the people, his disciples, she also is a child of God. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe in verse 16, it says, I no longer see anyone after the flesh. I used to see people after the flesh, even Jesus Christ after the flesh, but no longer. What he's saying is, I now see people through the eye of faith, the way God sees them. And that is what Jesus Christ was teaching here. So friends, it says here, the woman's response is rather pointed. Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. That's right. Gather up the baskets. Gather up the remnant. Let none be wasted. So others could benefit from the goodness of God. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Gather up the remnants. Give it to the people. Jesus Christ went abroad, scattering abroad the goodness of God, the love of God. And this woman became a beneficiary. And her faith was an example and stood as a mighty power to convict the hearts of his disciples who were still at this time prejudiced and full of all kinds of self-centeredness. And the question is asked at the bottom of the page, why is prejudice against other races and nationality contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ? How can we seek to be purged of this evil? Jesus Christ tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we are told that he came to break down the middle wall of partition. That wall which separates man from God and man for man. That wall which separates you from that other guy over there because you live in a glass house and he lives in on the street somewhere. Because you are from this nationality and that guy or that person is not. And there's controversy even in God's church today because of this trouble of, well, this is who I am. I'm not going to mix with them or whatever the case might be. It is contrary to the teaching of Christ because Christ came and said, I came for all. I came to call sinners. And the last time I checked, there was not a human being that walks upon this earth, has ever walked upon this earth, that was not a sinner. He comes to call sinners to repent. He comes to bring all together. When John, in the book of Revelation, when John made was in vision, he said, I saw on the glassy sea an innumerable group of people. Of every tribe, kindred, and nation. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, as he was about to ascend back into heaven, he says, go and carry this gospel to all nations, beginning first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because Jesus Christ is in the business of bringing his children back to him, red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. And so as we move on to Wednesday, Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37, the Bible tells us how Jesus Christ heals a deaf and mute man. And we understand that Jesus is always in the business of teaching. Jesus was teaching by example. Everything Jesus Christ was doing was to save humanity, but also to teach his disciples. Jesus Christ did more demonstration by his association with the disciples than by talking to them. He just says, follow me and watch me. And so as Jesus Christ is interacting now with this deaf and mute man, the Bible says that the man comes to him asking to be healed. Verse 32 tells us, then they brought unto him one who was deaf and had an impediment in the speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately, how soon? Immediately, when God speaks a word. This is the word of faith. The word of faith is immediate. Now, you may not see it right away, right? But God calls those things which are not as though they are. So you may not see it right away, but God has called it. It is there. You just don't see it. The evidence of things not seen. This is faith. So when God speaks a word, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 33, he speaks and it is done. He commands and it what? Stands fast. When God spoke the world into existence, did it happen right away or did it wait for billions of years? It happened right away. Do you know that many Christians today, even in the Adventist church, practice evolution? Some of you are shaking your head like, what? What? Oh, it's in the church. And I'm not talking about, well, it is in the church, scientific evolution. It's in the church. I know it, because I've interacted with people. But I'm talking about the evolution of denying the immediacy of the word of faith. Many Christians, many Adventists will reject scientific, quote-unquote, evolution But they would readily accept, without even thinking about it, the evolution of disbelieving what God says he could do. If God says, I could speak a word to you right now, he says, I could make a man more precious than fine gold. If God says, be clean right now, everything we just looked at, the woman whose daughter had a demon, he says, go, she's healed. Immediately she was healed. Everything that God did was immediate, that Christ did when he was on earth. But when he says to you and me today, I make you clean, we say, well, it takes a lifetime. Say, we say it takes a lifetime. God's word is the word of faith. Do we receive it with faith and say, yes, Lord, I believe it, help my unbelief, and let it happen to me right now, today? Or do we keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and fighting with God, resisting and fighting and resisting? Thank God he is patient with us. The patience of God is why we're still here today. But the patience is going to wear thin at some point. Wickedness and sin must be put to an end. God speaks the word, and immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosed. The immediacy of the word of faith is real, friends. And we must receive it and hold on to it because God speaks it. When God speaks a word, it is there. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. When God speaks a word, hold it like you already have it. And let it happen in your life. Don't practice evolution with faith. Let God speak the word to you and receive it right now. And so this man's tongue was loosened. The last paragraph says here of Wednesday, this brief story illustrates what God can do for those who willingly turn to him. Perhaps you may have experienced reticence of sharing your faith, feeling tongue-tied regarding just what to say. This miracle offers encouragement that the Lord Jesus can open your ears to be sensitive to others' needs and share a ready word to lift them on their journey. The word of faith which is in your mouth, friends, if you have the Christ of faith, the author of faith in your heart, he will give you the word of faith to speak to the one who is weary. And speak the word of faith because faith works by love. Speak words of faith to people. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. God has given you salvation. Let others know about it also, that they also will come. On Thursday, we're going to finish up now. On Thursday, we look at chapter 8, verses 11 to 13 of Mark. 11 to 13. And I'm going to read that quickly. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign and from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them and getting into the boat, again departed to the other side. And the lesson tells us to watch out for bad bread. Let's skip over to verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, because Jesus Christ is always in the business of teaching, Jesus Christ, aware of what he is thinking, said to them, Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? My friends, that is the leaven of the Pharisees. That is the leaven of Herod, the hardening of our hearts. Are you also still hardened? Have I been with you for so long and you have no faith? Why? Why? Beware, my friends, of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Beware of bad bread. How many of you had eaten mold bread before? Moldy bread. By accident. You know, so many times we eat foods that are moldy. We're not even aware of it. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes, by the grace of God, our immune system is able to fight it off. But Jesus Christ is telling us here, it's not so much the bread that we eat in our mouths, but beware of the leaven in the heart. Because that is what destroys. There is no way to enter the kingdom of heaven with the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and of Herod. Why are you seeking a sign? You're not going to have any sign. You have seen enough signs anyhow. Since I've been with you, if you don't get it by now that I come from the Father, then there's nothing else I could show you or tell you. Why not demonstrate his divine power, they're saying, and convince these cavaliers? That's what the lesson writer is asking, Dr. Stevens. He says, why don't you just show them something? Just show them something big. Make fire come down from heaven, and then they'll believe in you. No, they would not. They would not. Because if their heart has not already been captivated by the tender love and kindness of God, by going around and healing people and setting them free, if you see that, and you still hold on to your wickedness, and you still plan to kill this man, you tell this man that he and his disciples are breaking the Sabbath, but you are planning to kill him on the Sabbath. If your heart is that vile, there's no sign that he could do that could change you. And this is a warning for them and a warning for us. This is a resisting of the Holy Spirit. And Christ says, you could blaspheme me and it will be forgiven. But the sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin against the Holy Spirit. When you grieve and resist and you fight and you reject the Holy Spirit, who comes to convict the heart of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, the one who makes you recognize who you really are. A sinner who needs salvation, who needs grace, who needs redemption, who needs righteousness. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, there remains no more remedy for sin. But a certain judgment, my friends, a fiery judgment. Oh, friends, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and of Herod. Don't misunderstand this point. And the only way you could avoid this thing is if faith lays hold upon Christ, who is the author and finisher of faith. As he went about doing good and drawing people back to God, restoring people back to God, these leaders of the church, rather than being drawn, they are finding ways to malign him, to bring discord, and ultimately to kill him. They are so full of their self-righteousness. So he says, I don't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friends, don't consider yourself righteous without Christ. He is, Paul says, that he has become to us righteousness, and judgment, and redemption, and wisdom, and power, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. Let Christ be your God and your stay. I'm going to finish up here as I read Friday's reading here from the Desire of Ages. Among the followers of our Lord today, as of old, how widespread is this subtle deceptive sin? How often our service to Christ, our communion with one another, is marred by the secret desire to exalt self? How ready the thought of self-gratulation and the longing for human approval. It is the love of self, the desire for an easier way than God has appointed, that leads to the substitution of human theories and traditions for the divine precepts. To his own disciples, the warning words of Christ are spoken. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And you could finish up the reading there, my friends. But I pray that as we have studied this morning, that God would help us to recognize our own heart, how deceitful and wicked it is, and how we need Christ to give us a pure heart, a heart filled with a faith that works by love. And as we close, friends, we're going to have prayer. And then I want to remind you again, if you want a free DVD or a free CD of this lesson today, please call 916-457-6511 or go to the website CSH, Central Study Hour, CSH at sacscentral.org and ask for offer number C202432. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of study, and we pray that as your Holy Spirit moves upon every heart, that our hearts will not be exalted like Lucifer, who said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God, but that we will have the humility of Christ as recorded in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. The humbling of self before God. We thank you for the experience of Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.